Thanks for coming in, Mr. Mahoney. Do you have your member ID card?
Yep, I have it right here in the FEP Blue app. See?
Great.
It's awesome. The app can also help me find a provider and keep tabs on my deductibles.
Okay, can I...
Oh, yeah, and my out-of-pocket spending and visit limits, and I can call the nurse line.
I'm really glad it does all that, but I only need to see your member ID card.
Oh, that's it? Why didn't you say so?
Fearless is just one tap away. With the new FEP Blue app from Blue Cross and Blue Shield, you can access your health benefits on the go. Download it now at fepblue.org/app.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's get into it and plate this dish again on a Tuesday, November 15th and a Wednesday, November 16th. Another edition of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Matt Derry with you, another edition on a Tuesday. Lions are in first place. Can we just take a second and, like, breathe? Can we, like, just bask in the glow of this on November 15th, 2016? Okay?
Okay.
For, like, 2.5 months. We're 2.5 months into the NFL season. And I'll set up the show. We'll talk to Justin Rogers from the Detroit News. He's going to be our guest today here on Locked On Lions. And I'll tell you, the Locked On Lions is brought to you by Jason Stratt at RE/MAX Suburban, the number one realtor in the city, 586-634-2612. Or I could tell you about CJ Pub sponsoring our podcast today. CJ Pub Sports Grill in Shelby Township. Check them out at 45537 Mound Road. But seriously, like, watched a little bit of Monday Night Football last night. I was back and forth with the Bengals and the Giants, and you know, like, just for a split second, they went over the divisions and they were talking. And, you know, they always do that on ESPN. And they're like, oh, Dallas is, you know, top of the NFC East. And, oh, Dak Prescott, the Dak attack. And Zeke Elliott's going to be rookie of the year. And, oh, man, the NFC South, the Dirty Birds are back. And, you know, they might have lost on Sunday, but boy, Matty Ice is having a great year. And they're putting up over 300 points already on the year. And their offense is so good with Julio Jones. And, oh, how about Seattle and the NFC West? And, oh, boy, Seattle made a huge statement Sunday night, going into Foxborough and knocking off those stinking, the Boston Patriots, as Richard Christie from the Howard Stern Show would say, the New England Patriots. And then they get to the NFC North, and it's like, the Detroit Lions? Are the Detroit Lions really tied for first place? And with the tiebreaker over the Minnesota Vikings in first place? It's like, yeah. It's not something we're used to, or maybe it's not something we're not used to because, yes, the Lions have got to end the season on a high note. We all recall Jim Schwartz's last year in 2013 when they botched the Baltimore and New York games and they choked away the division when the division was right there for the taking. And we know all that, okay? But this season, where the expectations were so low, when many of you didn't care, right, the care factor was low. Caldwell's back. Calvin's gone. Meh. Who cares? Let's just get Caldwell out of town and lose as many games as possible. That's what a lot of you, whether you're driving to work right now on a Wednesday morning, whether you're coming home from work late Tuesday night, when you listen to this podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network on audioboom.com or on iTunes, that's what you were thinking. And today, you know, I'm driving home today, and I'm in the car, and I got the ticket on, and I'm listening to Valeni and Jeff Rieger, and Mike, of all people, okay? One of my best friends, okay? Mike is saying, the Lions should win the division. There's no excuse. It's like, what? Like, did Mike smash his head against the ground, and is he concussed? Like, Mike, noted Lions basher. So everybody, I'm not saying everybody's on the bandwagon, but everybody recognizes that, yes, it's possible. It's very feasible that a team right now that is really lousy defensively, that hasn't been healthy all year, whether it's Levy out, Slay out, Ansa out, all these linebackers going on IR before the season, whether it's Amir Abdullah missing most of the year, Theo Riddick missing a handful of games, right? that this football team is sitting in a position in the atop the NFC North where, yes, I agree with Mike. I agree with everybody. The division is there for the taking. Green Bay stinks. They're a complete mess at 4-5. They can't stop anybody. Mike McCarthy, after games, is saying one thing about the offense. Aaron Rodgers is saying another. Our buddy TJ Lang from Brother Rice and Eastern, ankle sprain. Bakhtiari's been out. Their left tackle. Eddie Lacy's hurt. They can't get it going. Minnesota has lost 4 in a row. And while that team is probably still the favorite to win the division based on their defense and having so many Pro Bowlers on the defensive side of the ball, offensively, that offensive line is so bad that eventually Sam Bradford's going to get hurt. And then what? Sean Hill's going to lead him to a division championship? So yes, as the Lions get back to work, and as they get ready to play the Jaguars on Sunday, there is that sense that if they can just hang on to the football, keep riding Matthew Stafford, win these close games, that your Detroit Lions are in good shape to win the division. And it's just, that's why today I just wanted to like take this big picture look that it's possible. And it's not because the Lions are some great football team. They're not. I'm not going to go back on my preseason discussion on this podcast where I said, look, they go 8-8 and just look better. I'd be fine with that. Because in year one of general manager Bob Quinn, it is a year of observation. It's an opportunity for him to figure out what he's got. And so far, what has he figured out? Number one, he's had to go out and add depth to this team, whether it's been a couple of trades, whether it's been, drafting pretty well and playing these people, which he's done, which Jim Caldwell has done, whether it's figuring out that Matthew Stafford is a guy you must sign on the dotted line like tomorrow and keep him in town. Jim Bob Cooter, his guy can't go anywhere because it seems like he and Stafford are like Tiger Woods with Stevie on the bag, you know, that works. And so that's where we stand right now with back-to-back home games on the horizon and all of their games in the division left at home. You could tweet to me at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks. Hit me up on the Matt Derry fan page on Facebook as well if you have any comments about today's show, yesterday's show. We talked a lot yesterday on the podcast about Stafford, about Jim Caldwell, and we'll talk to Justin Rogers from the Detroit News coming up in a little bit here on the podcast. I do want to tell you about Jason Stratt, though, at RE/MAX Suburban. If you're looking to buy a home, sell your home before the holidays, you're trying to move, you want to see what your home is worth, what the market looks like right now for you. If you're a first-time home buyer, Jason Stratt at RE/MAX Suburban has got a great home for you in St. Clair Shores, by the way. You can look it up, too. 22105 Avalon in the Shores. It's going for $89,900. It's a great home. 3 bedrooms, partially finished basement with a full bath, walking distance to downtown St. Clair Shores and shopping or restaurants, whatever you need, and is really a perfect home for that first-time home buyer. All right, 22105 Avalon. Give Jason Stratt a call at RE/MAX Suburban at 586-634-2612, 586-634-2612. Why do I deal with Jason? Because that's who I dealt with years ago when I bought my house, and he's just awesome. Right, he's a good dude. He'll answer the phone. No BS with him. Good family man. All right, loves sports, and he'll get the job done for you. Those are the kind of realtors you want to deal with. Hassle-free, okay? Call Jason Stratt at RE/MAX Suburban, 586-634-2612. He really is an amazing dude. Never thought we'd say first place Lions at this time, but we are. Let's go live and talk to Justin Rogers from the Detroit News, our guest today here on Locked On Lions. Has been covering the team for a while, of course, first at M Live, and now at the Detroit News. What's up, Justin?
What you talking about, Matt? This first place is getting to be an old hat. I think they were first place in 2013 and 2014 at this point, so they just can't finish. Let's see if they can finish this time.
It's incredible, though, and I think the biggest issue that maybe is different from the past is that the expectations were certainly lowered. I think you knew this, that really there was no buzz around this team, no Calvin, no Ndamukong Suh, yet somehow, some way, they find themselves atop the standings. What's been the magic sauce for them, you think, through the first 9 games?
Well, I think you knew the offense was going to be all right early. You know, Marvin Jones came in and was a nice fit for the offense, and yeah, he hasn't been the same guy he was early in the season, but that's kind of the beauty of the offense is you got Golden Tate, Eric Ebron, Theo Riddick, and all these different guys can step up and emerge in a given game, and it gives Matthew Stafford so many options in that quick-hitting, efficient attack at the offense. So, you know, that's working out really, really well for them. The defense, you know, you thought it would be better, but you probably also thought DeAndre Levy would be out there as well. So, you know, Stafford is keeping this group afloat, and we'll see if the defense can have a second-half turnaround similar to what they did last season when they were awful at the halfway point and kind of put it together down the stretch.
Justin, what was yesterday like in Allen Park in terms of walking into the facility, first-place team? I know you guys tried and poked and prodded Jim Caldwell all you could to try to discuss that. I know he keeps it even keel and says, you know, we don't look at the big picture, no such thing. But, you know, now people are actually discussing this team, you know, legitimately, nationally. What did it feel like down in Allen Park yesterday?
You know, Caldwell's attitude is so pervasive through the locker room. You know, you want that from your leadership. You want your coach's attitude to be reflected from the through the roster. And it really is. No matter who you talk to, of all the guys, you know, Eric Ebron's, you know, the type of guy that might go off and say something to the contrary. And he's really fully bought into the message that they haven't won anything yet. And that's the right attitude. They haven't won a darn thing. They don't put up banners in Ford Field for being in first place at week 10. Although they're one step away from that, I understand with the playoff banners. But, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. They know where they're at. They know the opportunity they have in front of them. But they also know they have to accomplish it.
What about the Tom Mazzaway 6-2 banner from the second half of last year? I thought it was going up. I figured it was a close call.
Yeah, I'm sure it was voted down by maybe one or two votes.
All right, so we're talking to Justin Rogers from the Detroit News, covers the Lions. You know, you mentioned Caldwell and everything else. You know, is he the same guy? Is it just a wash, rinse, repeat with everything he's saying? And I guess is that a good thing when you talk about it seems to be working?
Yeah, you know, it's that classic, you can't get too high, you can't get too low, they all count the same, and it's really repetitive, and it's a cliche when you hear it, but it's very true. You know, you can't get too emotionally invested in a game outside of maybe a week 17 contest or where your playoff life is literally hinging in the balance. They've got a long way to go. You know, seven games with just five wins, you know, they've got to win at least, I think, four games to be in playoff contention. They got four games at home. They've got all three division games at home. The schedule kind of set up that way this year. So they need to take care of business. And, you know, they can't look past the Jacksonville Jaguars for the same reason that they couldn't look past the Tennessee Titans and the Chicago Bears earlier this year, games they should have won that they dropped. So they need to go out there and take care of business on this reeling Jaguars team that's lost four straight, that has a quarterback that looks a mess after looking pretty good last year, and has turned over the ball at a pretty, you know, awful rate. I think they're last in the NFL in turnover margin. They just need to put their foot on the throat of that team and finish that, and then worry about, you know, the next step and inching closer to that playoff position.
I want to get into this Jacksonville game with you momentarily because I'm with you. I think this game's a lot more dangerous than people think. But I want to go back to this Caldwell thing one more time. It's kind of ironic that you look around the division, the Bears, you know, and I'll use your word, are a mess. And I don't know how popular John Fox is in Chicago. Mike McCarthy may be on the hot seat and not on the same page as Aaron Rodgers. Vikings run out their offensive coordinator and Mike Zimmer melting down in press conferences after games, pointing fingers at offensive linemen. And yet here's Jim Caldwell and the Lions, the model of consistency and good behavior in the division. It's crazy.
Yeah, but on the same page. I mean, they're a 5-4 team, you know, just a shade above 500. They've had to have comeback wins in all five of those games, and not just any kind of comeback. I mean, we're talking final 2 or 3 minutes of every game. They've been down in the fourth quarter of every game. So there's some luck there. Now, that calm demeanor is also carried over onto the way his group performs in those clutch situations. You know, Matthew Stafford is obviously very special in those situations. You know, for all the criticism I've given him through his career, he's always been good in those late game situations with game on the line. He's won way more than he's lost. But it's not just him in those situations. It's guys like Andre Roberts, you know, bottom of the roster guys who are making massive plays. Golden Tate, making, you know, significant plays down the stretch for this team that's allowing them to win this game. They're not losing their head even in situations where it looks impossible. You know, 23 seconds, no timeouts, you got to drive 40 yards. That's a tough situation. You look back at the Indy game at the beginning of the season, where they had to drive, you know, quite a ways with you know, they had the timeouts, but just so little time on the clock. It's because Caldwell hammers home these end game situations. He gives them a variety of them based on real time situations that he studied throughout the professional and college ranks that has them prepared for these situations. And then his attitude, his calmness, that never get too high, never get too low mantra, you know, allows them to execute when the game is on the line.
Justin, you mentioned Matthew Stafford before and the way he's playing. Certainly the Jason LaCanfora report now out there, and it's nothing, I think, earth-shattering to you that's there every day about Stafford wanting $25 million a year and to become the highest-paid quarterback. Is there any doubt in your mind that that will happen this summer?
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be $25 million. Luck just set the bar. I don't know what the exact number was, 23.5, somewhere in that ballpark. So, you know, Stafford's going to get a little bit more than that. It's going to be, you know, in line with whatever the growth of the cap is. We don't know that number. We won't know it until the offseason. But I think it is absolutely priority 1A, 1B, and 1C for this team to get done, get an extension done for their quarterback. It makes perfect sense. He's earned it. He's shown that he's turned a corner. You know, I think it took him a little bit longer to reach the level that he's playing at now than when we expected. You know, maybe two, three years ago is when we thought he'd start reading this level. Well, you know, it's put together a 16-game stretch now. It looks like it's here to stay. It's a great fit for the offense. And, you know, people are going to get, you know, at least some people are going to get upset about the size of that contract. But that's just the natural evolution of football. As the cap goes up, the salaries go up, and Stafford's going to be the last to sign. He's going to be the highest paid for a blink of an eye until the next guy signs. And, you know, that's just the reality of it. And the alternative of going out and trying to find another franchise quarterback. You know, how long did it take this team to find one in the first place? How long did it take the Cleveland Browns to find one? You just don't want to get in that situation where you're looking for one again. They've got one. He's young. He's still in his prime. Lock him up and pay the man.
It's interesting. You said there might be some people wringing their hands over this. I don't know if I agree with that. I think everybody's on the bandwagon now, and when you watch these, especially some of these Thursday night games where there's nothing else on, and you see some of these quarterbacks playing around the league, and you see the struggles of even the really good quarterbacks like an Aaron Rodgers, you realize, hey, we might have something here. I think a lot of his detractors are very, very quiet right now, and I don't even think they think that the other shoe's going to drop and he'll go back to being the old Stat Padford or whatever. I think. Everybody's on board with the way he's played right now, don't you think?
Yeah, no, the argument that is out there, and I understand it, is he hasn't won a playoff game. And I was on board with that argument until this year. Because in past years, I thought Matthew Stafford was average in many ways. He turned the ball over too much. He made bad decisions. He wasn't good enough first through four, you know, quarter one through quarter four. You know, he wasn't elevating his team. At this point now, he's wearing his team like a backpack. You know, he is carrying those guys. If they don't win a playoff game or don't win the division this year, it's not Matthew Stafford's fault. It's the fact that this is the year where the team wasn't good enough around him, as opposed to I wouldn't buy that argument as much in previous years as people want to use it this year.
Justin Rogers, Detroit News, Lions beat writer, joining me here on Locked On Lions. What about the influence of Anquan Boldin on Stafford and that locker room? How big of a influence has he been? Not many people talk about him.
Yeah, I mean, he's just the quintessential veteran you want in that locker room. He is a tireless worker. You know, Caldwell kind of alluded to it the other day when he said that on Tuesday, it's off day for the players, the one day where they can kind of rest, relax, expected to be a recovery day for their body in terms of getting massages or spending time in the ice tub. Boldin comes in and he does this absurd, intense workout. It's just the way he is. He's just a machine like that. Very similar to, I think, the stories you used to hear about Jerry Rice. And on the field, he's provided a slot presence the Lions haven't had for years. You know, Lance Moore gave them a little bit of a bump last year. Anquan Boldin's an entirely different class than Lance Moore. I understand he's long in the tooth, and I understand he's had, you know, a little too many drops, as have many of the receivers this year. But he's given them, giving Matthew Stafford another security blanket down the middle of the field which was particularly important when Eric Ebron was nursing an injury. You know, when you take away Ebron, you take away your tight end, and you don't have Brandon Pettigrew out there, and you're relying on guys like Clay Harbor and Cole Wick. You need that guy that can move the chains in the middle of the field, and that was Bolden for a good 3-4 game stretch there.
All right, coming off this bye week, what will the defense look like Sunday in terms of getting guys back? What do you anticipate?
Well, I think Darius Slay is a given. You know, his hamstring injury was well on its way to healing before the bye. He practiced in a limited capacity all 3 days before that Minnesota game, and they decided to hold him out. I thought that was a really smart move. Let him heal up. You know, the big mystery is DeAndre Levy, and from all the people I talked to leading up to about a month ago, was the expectation was his injury would be in the clearing stages right about this time. So I'm really curious to see if he hits the practice field tomorrow or within the next couple days. You know, I don't know if he's going to be able to play right away at this first week. You know, it might be a slow burn for him, get him back on the field, get him back in the groove of things. But, you know, the fact that he was never placed on IR, I still believe he's coming back this year.
And what about Ziggy Ansah? Finally a game where he made some plays. Maybe didn't show up on the stat sheet in Minnesota, but certainly was disruptive. Could he be closer or closest to 100% that he's been all year this week?
Yeah, I would imagine. I don't know how many of the listeners have had a high ankle sprain. I unfortunately suffered one several years ago, and it's one of the weirdest sports injuries I've ever had, because it feels completely fine until you push off on it wrong. And there's not many more physical traits you need as an NFL player than the ability to push off, because that's your get off, that's your change of direction. It lingers for the longest time, and so I think Ansah's looked normal, all right, the last 2 weeks. And yeah, he's not getting to the quarterback. You know, teams are still scheming against him, but he did a lot to create four other guys last week, as you mentioned. You know, that Kerry Hyder sack, the second one was a direct because Ansah flushed him out of the pocket, forced him to step up and let Kerry wrap him up. I'm not too worried about Ansah at this point. And same with Haloti Ngata. He played over 40 snaps in that last game. He was a presence in the middle, and I think his health, you know, those extra 2 weeks for him to get healthy are going to be important, because the Lions need to be able to push the pocket in the middle and make sure they shut down the run in that area as well.
We touched on it before with Justin. Sunday, everybody just thinks, oh, it's a lock, off a bye. They're playing a bad Jacksonville team. I don't know. These are the types of games that scare me. Everybody's talking positively about the Lions. First place, rest of the division's a mess. Oh, they'll win the next two. They're at home. This is a lot more of a dangerous game this weekend, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, my concern is the same it's kind of been with all these games, is the fact that the Lions have made mediocre quarterbacks look really good. You know, you can't forget how good Case Keenum looked. Case Keenum is an awful bottom-tier NFL quarterback.
Right.
Completes 19 straight passes, just picked apart Lions defense up until that final drive. Well, Blake Bortles was struggling, no doubt, but his arm talent is way better than what Keenum offers. They've got three pretty darn good receivers who are all on pace for 800 yards, pretty good tight end, and we all know the Lions struggles covering the tight end, and a decent running game. You know, Chris Ivory, since his early season mysterious injury, has really picked it up, has looked good, had a 100-yard game a couple weeks ago. So it's a fairly potent offense. And as I mentioned earlier, the problem with the Jaguars is they turn the ball over a ton. The Lions have to find a way to force at least one turnover. Two would go a long way, because nobody's protecting the ball much better than the Lions this year. So as long as they protect the football and force a turnover, I think that'll be the difference in this one.
Do you expect any of these teams to pick up the pace in the division, or do you see the struggles in Minnesota continuing and certainly Green Bay, where there's a lot of finger-pointing going on?
You know, I think Minnesota's defense is going to get back on track, and when you have a defense that good, it can set the tone. It can cover up for a lot of other, ills on the team. I just don't know if they can fix that offensive line. They've now lost three offensive tackles. I know Jake Long was not looking great, but that's a third offensive tackle they've lost. Who knows if Adrian Peterson's coming back, but they've been down him all year, obviously. Sam Bradford's done a bang-up job, covering for Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's done really well. Stephon Diggs is one of my, favorite and most underrated wide receivers in football. But if they can't protect Bradford, you know, how many shots can that guy take before he's going to break again? And that's his reputation. Durability has been a major issue there. But that's a team that seems most likely to get back on track to me. Green Bay, I have no idea what's going on. It just looks like a toxic relationship with the coach, quarterback. Everything looks like it's falling apart there. I really think McCarthy's probably out of the job at the end of the year. He'll find another one quickly, but you know, I think his time in Green Bay is running short with the way that the effort that his team is putting forth down the stretch here.
Yeah, incredible to give up 47 to the Titans last Sunday. Not something we expected to see, and really the entire NFC up for grabs. I think Seattle obviously with a win over New England, and Dallas continues to win, but you know, even the Lions are going to go to New York and play the Giants. Maybe the NFL will flex that game the way these two teams are playing.
Yeah, you know, I remember looking at the schedule down the stretch, and I think that the game that week was one that would probably be tough to flex out. It might have been Pittsburgh-Baltimore or something, you know, a very compelling matchup that you wouldn't want to flex out. But week 17 against Green Bay, I mean, that's there is no week 17 game set. They pick one as it goes on, and right now, if that one has division or playoff implications, that's a real good possibility that one gets flexed.
Amazing we're even having that discussion on November 15th, but certainly that's a good thing. JR, great catching up, buddy.
Hey, as always.
There he is, Justin Rogers from the Detroit News joining us, formerly of MLive, does a really good job covering the Detroit Lions for the Detroit News, joining us here on Locked On Lions, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And I agree with Justin, all right? And we'll go down to Jacksonville and visit with someone with the Jaguars, certainly at the end of the week, and kind of preview this game, but this game is scary to me. All signs point to the Lions blowing them out, right? There should be no doubt in anybody's mind. Oh, this is going to be a cakewalk for the Lions, based on Jacksonville being 2-7, being in a lousy division in the AFC South. Their coach, Gus Bradley, seriously on the hot seat. Not a guy that has shown, at least over the last year and a half, that the team is getting better. Okay, we all knew that Jacksonville was a work in progress and everything else, and an ownership change a couple of years ago, and they're playing these games in London and everything else. But, you know, Lions coming in, opened up as a 6.5-point favorite. It has stayed at 6.5. But Jacksonville is so due to win a football game, and they've dropped 4 straight, and there's talent there. And the talent mostly is on the offensive side of the ball, and where are the Lions weak? On defense. Allen Robinson, the Detroit native, all right? 48 catches for 549 yards and 5 touchdowns. He's good. Allen Hurns is a good player. Marquise Lee is good. They've got a couple of tight ends, and Julius Thomas and Mercedes Lewis that can play. What can't the Lions do? Cover the tight end. All right? Ivory and Yeldon, couple of decent backs. So, I know what it looks like. All right, the Lions should have no issues knocking off a bad, bad Jacksonville team that is in last place in a bad division, the AFC South, that over the last 4 weeks gave up 33 to Oakland, 36 to Tennessee, scored just 14 against Kansas City, and last week fell to Houston 24-21. All right, they're bad. Started 0-3, served up 38 to the Chargers. It's not a good team. But it's just a dangerous game. I think everybody expects the Lions to cruise, and those are the kind of games that scare me. And again, I'm not a huge Bortles fan, but there's talent there. Justin talked about it. Guy's got arm strength. You just hope this is not the week where the Lions go back to being, the Lions. And they just take care of business at home against a bad Jags team. But I think this is going to be a tough game. I do. I think this, you know, if I was a betting man, 6.5, 7 points, I don't know. I think it's dangerous. I think it's very, very dangerous. And they should win. They should blow them out. All that stuff. I just look out. Look out for Sunday. I'm just telling you. Got to tell you about CJ Pub on Mound Road in Shelby Township. CJ Pub Sports Grill. Oh, man, if you love going to CJ Mahoney's in Rochester Hills, and who doesn't? All right, right there on Rochester Road. My man Brandon Shea and his partner Brian Taylor, they do a great job at CJ Mahoney's. Oh, the Asian pot stickers. Oh, my God, the seasoned fries. I could go there right now. Well, now I don't have to travel that far. I can go to CJ Pub in Shelby Township at 45537 Mound Road, on Mound, just north of M59. The thing about CJ Pub Sports Grill is it's just like Mahoney's, but the food is even better. The drink specials, and really the daily specials, are what really separates them from every sports bar on the east side. You want to watch Monday Night Football from 5 to close? They got 50-cent wings and $6 domestic pitchers. All right, late night happy hour at CJ Pub, Sunday through Thursday, 10 p.m. to close, half off appetizers. All their specials are great. Tacos on Wednesday nights on Mexican night are just $1, and $2 Coronas. The $5 Long Islands all day on Friday. Saturday, 9 o'clock p.m. to close, it's CCC night. $4 Crown Royal Whiskey, Captain Morgan Rum, and Ciroc Vodka. Get it? CCC. And it's just a great place. They got great service. Brandon and Brian are awesome. CJ Pub in Shelby Township. Best place to go watch games and hang out with your buddies. 45537 Mound Road in Shelby. Or call them at 586-997-3255. All right, that'll do it for another edition of Locked On Lions, brought to you right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Matt Derry with you on a Tuesday into Wednesday. We'll dive more into the Lions game, find out about the injuries and what's going to happen with who's on the field. Will DeAndre Levy be back at practice tomorrow? We'll let you know tomorrow on the program. Don't forget about Locked On Pistons with my buddy Dan Feldman. You want a daily look at the Pistons? Dan does a great job. All the podcasts for you on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks to CJ Pub for sponsoring today's program, as well as my man Jason Stratt at Remax Suburban. We will do it again tomorrow.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.